Good morning, and welcome to our daily edition of The Zelda Show, a sprinkling of music, news, interviews, and general chit-chat. Find out more about the Jewish world here and in Israel in a unique and easy manner. Your host and producer, Zelda.
Come fly, El Al, and your spirit will climb ever higher as your heart takes wing. And with the birds it sings a song of joyous praise. El Al is the airline of Israel that calls for you with open arms. Come fly, El Al, come fly.
Good morning, and how are you this morning? Another lovely day. Hope you enjoy it. Let's go to news right now and Arut Sheva.
This is Israel National Radio, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, with news every half hour, on the half hour. Now, from the Israel National Radio newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
The Israel Supreme Court has ruled that the ban on the employment of Jews on the Jewish Sabbath does not go against the basic law of freedom of employment. The ruling coming in the case of a furniture marketing company that claimed the ban caused economic damage to the company and its employees. Last week, the court aroused the anger of the Orthodox community when it allowed less-than-Orthodox conversions. The Army has begun to refurbish the ancient Peace on Israel Synagogue in Jericho in order to restore its use as a synagogue. The restoration of the ancient Byzantine-era synagogue with the words Peace on Israel inscribed in Hebrew on a well-preserved mosaic floor was agreed upon with the PLO when Jericho was handed over to PLO security control last month, according to a report published in the Yediot Ahronot newspaper's Ynet Internet service. The Army has set up a new reserve unit to uproot Jewish graves from cemeteries in Gush Katif. Families of the deceased, including those who lost loved ones in terrorist attacks or in the army, will not be allowed into the cemeteries when the time for uprooting the graves begins. According to the Ma'ariv Daily, members of the new unit have already begun training at an introductory seminar given at an army base near Tel Aviv. The uprooting of Jewish graves will be carried out as part of the government's plan to expel Jews and Jewish businesses from Gaza and northern Samaria. The program to totally rid the areas of any Jewish presence includes all Jews, living and dead. Knesset officials have placed a ban on entering the parliament with cellular telephones that contain digital cameras, a regulation apparently implemented in response to mounting security concerns. The Knesset building does not allow any cameras. The growing profits for Israel's four cellular telephone companies has many consumers angered, especially following the most recent rate hike, which is intended to bypass a government rate cut, one that significantly cut the bridging charges, the fee charged by cellular companies to connect subscribers of different cellular providers. Organizers of today's effort are urging the owners of the almost 7 million cellular telephone lines to leave their phones turned off for the day in an act of defiance which is aimed at costing cellular companies dearly. Today will be observed as Safe Internet Day in Israel, a joint effort between Israel Police and Microsoft. The day is meant to focus on the hazards of children surfing the Internet without adult supervision, hopefully to increase awareness of the dangers of the Internet and to inform the public of the role of the police. Workers at the state-owned Israel Electric Corporation are threatening to cut off the electricity supply to three selected areas in the country 3 months after the Pesach or Passover holiday in protest of government plans to allow more private power-generating plants, which the workers fear would jeopardize their jobs and work conditions. The workers' union wants management, the government companies authority, and the finance ministry to sit down and negotiate on securing the staffers' work rights and conditions for after the restructuring of the company. Charitable organizations, which continue to bear the burden of the government providing basic food necessities for the poor the rest of the year, are outraged over the Labor and Welfare Ministry allocation of 2 million shekels for the needy ahead of the Passover holiday, explaining this amounts to 11 shekels per family. To date, 87 charitable organizations have turned to the ministry for assistance, submitting a list totaling 173,000 families requiring help. Aaron Cohen of the Jerusalem-based Tachlit organization explains that this year the demand for assistance has increased significantly due to the bleak fiscal realities in Israel, which have led to more and more families joining the ranks of the poor. Cohen explains the average Israeli family has four people, and therefore each poor person will receive an average of less than 3 shekels of government assistance ahead of the holiday. Incoming Deputy Minister of Labor and Welfare Rabbi Avraham Roberts confirms the facts, stating the picture is a bleak one and the government agency must do more to assist those in need. Calling Israel the only world market where the ubiquitous American coffee chain Starbucks has failed, Chief Executive Officer and largest stockholder, Harold Schultz, who was Jewish, is planning a comeback to the Israeli market, according to a report published in the Business Daily Globes. Schultz, who said his interest in setting up shop in Israel is partly motivated by Zionism, had opened stores in Tel Aviv, Ra'anana, and Jerusalem a few years back, but was forced to shut down due to stiff competition from native coffee franchises and a tourist market depressed by Arab terror. This time around, Schultz is considering purchasing an already existing chain and converting it to the Starbucks brand. Between the Knesset voting down a referendum on Prime Minister Sharon's plan to remove the Jews from the Gaza Strip and the Jenin area and the passing of the 2005 budget, will March 27, 2005 be remembered as the beginning of a week that will live in infamy? For a look at this question, listen to the Jay Shapiro Hour on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com.
Joining us now is Dr. Daniel Rad, a graduate in medicine and surgery from Rome, Italy, specializing in permanent allergy elimination and negative emotional release. Dr. Rad is also a researcher in alternative medicine. If you're suffering from food and environmental allergy reaction or have negative emotional issues, call Tuesday or Thursday, 416-269-0151, or Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, 416-535-8034. Hi, Dr. Rad. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Zelda. Good morning, everybody. I'm fine.
We missed you yesterday. Everything is fine?
I was busy yesterday.
That's great. Okay. People have been inquiring a lot about the products that you were talking about and the products that we have been using, the Sumi remedy for your indigestion and for your digestive tract, and also this Pacifica, which is sort of a calming and helps you sleep and relax. Tell us some more about it.
You know, I would like to bring in our audience attention matter that we talked about when I was there on Open Line show. I told that if new patients, if you remember, new patients coming me from that day until the end of April, they will receive their homemade remedy for free if they start their NAET treatments with me. It doesn't mean that anybody has heard me on radio can come and ask for free.
Is that what they're doing?
Remedy.
So, is that what they're doing?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
It's happening, and I didn't want to, disappoint them. I give them anyway, but I won't do that anymore. Who comes in for free consultation and starts NAET will receive this that remedy on time. In other words, when is time to start it?
Okay.
It will happen after maybe 10, 15, 20 treatments. When it's time to take it, I will give them for free. Doesn't matter how many bottles of them she or he may need. In other words, when it finishes one bottle, the other bottle will be given.
Okay.
But these people must keep carrying on and attending their treatment.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit about the remedies again for those of those.
This remedy is designed this way. There are many ingredients in there, in order to detoxify organs one by one, and in order to fight and kill yeast infection in the digestive system. And that one organizes, or in other words, activates digestive enzyme, stomach, and balances the acidity and alkalinity of the stomach. There are some remedy in there. It will increase white blood cells, which is Angelica, that's a good one, white blood cells. But Angelica by itself, if we take, cannot do that because needs to be prepared immune system in order to produce the white blood cells. In other words, if we don't nurture bone marrow, if we take tons of Angelica, it won't work because it needs some material to produce it. Anyway, there is some remedy to nurture central nervous system, and the autonomic nervous system, peripheral nervous system, and there are some remedies, just they give energy, they boost energy. In other words, they activate each mitochondria to go through a Krebs cycle, which is the energy production and ATP and whatever GOT, whatever should be done, takes place very well. So the people who are taking this remedy, they are happy with that. If a person was constipated, constipation is decreased, I mean has almost normal bowel movement. if a person had mushy stool and loose stool is getting more shaped and formed stool. The result of this whatever we see observation is showing that digestive system is getting normalized. People who had insomnia, who had disturbed sleep, they can sleep well because brain is get nurtured well by improving digestive system and taking a specific item to nurture the brain and central nervous system. Anyway, is designed the way will subsidize with alleviate and finally will maintain or manage any problem of our system.
Dr. Rad, it seems to me that there are so many things that can be taken care of under the banner of NAET,
yes.
And I hope that people will find out more information about NAET by logging onto their website at www.curesallergy.com. Your phone number is 416 today, 535-8034. And don't forget, once again, Dr. Rad, I'm sorry that, you know, people have been calling me as well, Dr. Rad, about the remedy. So we have to make it absolutely certain that anybody who comes and gets the treatments for NAET will get the bottles throughout their treatment free. Right?
That's right.
Okay. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Have a great day. We'll talk
Thanks
to you tomorrow.
Everybody. Thank
Bye.
You, Zelda.
Bye.
Dr. Daniel Rad will return tomorrow morning with more information on allergy elimination and other complementary methods. Dr. Rad is located at two convenient locations, 2753 Eglinton Avenue East, Suite 202, telephone 416-269-0151 or 800 Bathurst Street, Suite 205, telephone 416-535-8034.
The Mitzvah Moment with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan is proudly made possible by the Unity Referral Network, URN, bringing Jews together in business and pleasure. For business referrals, visit our website at www.unityreferralnetwork.com. We'll be right back. Our Cars for You representative Adina Reichman leases, finances, and sells cars at the best possible price. Please check out Cars for You deals. A 2005 Honda Accord DX for $299 plus tax, freight, and PDE extra with no deposit. 2005 Odyssey X with leather, $555 plus tax, freight, and PDE extra, but with a buyback, $1,800 less than the dealers. Please call Adina Reichman at Cars for You at 416-885-AUTO. That's 416-885-2886. Good morning, Rabbi Kaplan.
Good morning. In the days leading up to the holiday of Pesach, it behooves us to focus on the idea of freedom. And interestingly, the Torah says, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim," that the Jewish people who were slaves to Pharaoh are now in servitude of God. And the question then is, have we replaced one taskmaster for another? To this end, the Gemara tells us that chayrus, true freedom, is the ability to express our spiritual potential. And while that takes effort, which is denoted by the concept of servitude, it also brings us the concept of freedom. So when we talk about serving Hashem, we often refer to the word avodah, or a strenuous effort. And the effort of serving Hashem is not limited to the time we spend in the synagogue or in the study hall. Because business people have many avodot, or work, strenuous efforts they need to make too. The Rebbe once suggested two basic categories. One would be avoda, or strenuous effort with self. When a business person is actually at work in a free moment at the office, you could study a bit of Torah, a Mishnah or two, or you can even commit some Torah to memory. And then, regardless of where you might be, you can always focus on Hashem and His teachings. At the same time, we cannot suffice making the effort alone, but rather to reach out to others as well. When on the phone or on the computer discussing business, we can always turn the conversation towards introducing a story with Torah content, or seeking a reason or opportunity to stimulate your fellow to do mitzvot and to study Torah. If we make a strenuous effort in that area, then Torah promises us a true sense of spiritual freedom and a true sense of liberty.
The Mitzvah Moment with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan will return next time. Brought to you by the Unity Referral Network. For business referrals, visit us at www.unityreferralnetwork.com. Okay, we're very excited this morning that we have Sheila Mostyn on the line with us, and the name sounds familiar because it's Michael Mostyn's mother. Sheila, how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thanks. Good morning, Zelda.
Nice to have you with us. Sheila is this year's coordinator for the Passover Food Drive, and Michael mentioned it very briefly on yesterday, and we thought it was very important that you talk about this food drive and try to elicit help from our community.
Yes, thank you very much. And I'm a co-chair with my girlfriend, Paula Frisch. We're volunteers. And everybody on the committee and everyone that's been helping out is a volunteer. We have 1,500 volunteers for this project from beginning to end. So it's really quite a feat. We are packing 3,000 boxes of family and basic boxes to go out to almost 10,000 people, Jewish people in the community, of which about 4,000 are children. And our drive is officially over this Thursday, and we still have at least 800 boxes to pack between today and tomorrow evening. And we have delivery day this Sunday, the 17th. Of those 3,000 boxes between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. or until everybody gets a route and we get all these boxes delivered. So we're really up to, we're in a difficult situation.
Okay, what do you need, Sheila? What is it that you need?
What do we need? We need money because a lot of times we've been getting donations of food from schools and shuls and just individuals. And the problem is that we run out of food, and every box has to be packed exactly the same with the same gefilte fish and potato pancakes and applesauce and wine and jello and everything. We have a huge list of items that goes in every box, and when we run out of the food, we have to buy the food to make the box consistent so everyone has the same. So we're out buying food. We ran out of apple juice and tuna and gefilte fish yesterday, and we were running to get case lots in because we have schools and youth groups packing these boxes, and they've been absolutely fabulous.
Okay, now, you know, somehow maybe the non-Jewish community, maybe even the Jewish community, have this feeling that everybody in the Jewish community is wealthy and that there are no people below the poverty level, and that, of course, is a bunch of hogwash, as we all know.
As we all know, yes.
How many people will you be giving these boxes to in Toronto?
Well, it's the GTA. It's not just Toronto proper. As a matter of fact, we have people coming in from Barrie and Aurora, as well as the downtown Mississauga, Scarborough areas, Ajax. We're all over the map. At least 10,000 people, Jewish people, and the food that we can't use that's brought in that we sort, if it's not kosher. At all. We give it to the North York Food Harvest, so it is going out to the community as a whole, as well as the kosher food, but that isn't for Passover. There's two different types. There's kosher, but there's also kosher for Passover. So we have to put a designation there. So the kosher food that we cannot pack for Passover, we give to the kosher food bank.
Okay.
And there is a yearly kosher food bank, which is very sad, but unfortunately, this is Toronto, and this is our lot in life, that we have people that are in need.
Okay, so you service more than 10,000 people, including 4,000 children.
Yes.
And 2,000 seniors by supplying essential items for the week of Passover and the Seder meal.
Correct.
Now, you need volunteers for driving,
yes,
these things and packing
Sunday.
The boxes this Sunday.
Well, the packing the boxes we do not need because we have wonderful groups of children that have been lining up to come in and have the mitzvah of, you know, doing that and actually putting candles together, groups of 10 candles together for the Shabbos and the Yom Tovim for the holidays. But we need drivers desperately this Sunday. And
to deliver these boxes.
Even if you're not able to lift a box, but you can drive, just bring, you know, your children, your friends, your grandchildren, and let them have the mitzvah of delivering the boxes to the recipients. And they are really, truly, you know, humbled by the generosity of our own Jewish community.
Okay, and so at this very moment right now, you need drivers.
Yes.
You need money.
Yes.
Right? And where should it all go and come to?
Thank you. It should come to National Council of Jewish Women here at our council house, which is 4700 Bathurst Street. Our phone number here is 633-5100. So that's 416-633-5100.
And how much money would you need to get over the top? How much do you need, Sheila?
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's just a guesstimate. I would say probably about $40,000.
$40,000. And so you're short $40,000.
At this moment.
And you need that by Sunday.
Yes. Now, the money can still come in after Sunday because,
okay,
unfortunately, with the food we're buying, we have to pay the bills.
Right. Okay. So
so you get the 30-day grace.
What about some of the food places? What if some of the shopping malls?
Are
you getting it from them as well?
Yes. We have been fortunate enough to be working with 22 local stores that have put our bins into their stores, and the customers, when they do their shopping, can put the food in the bins, and we have volunteers picking up the food, as I said, at those stores. So that makes it as convenient as possible. I mean, we still need the food supplies. There's no question about it.
Okay. Well, Sheila Mostyn, I will mention this as often as I can before Sunday. You're doing a miraculous job, and you've also raised a very wonderful son.
You know what? I'm blessed to have such a wonderful
son. Yeah, you have.
Honestly.
You have a nice husband, too. I had the good fortune of meeting him as well.
Yes, and hopefully we shall meet soon, too.
Yeah, I hope so. I think I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, people out there, if you would like to give and make a mitzvah for Passover and beyond, please call 416-633-5100. You don't have to donate the $40,000. If you have it, that's great, do it. But whatever you can do, however you can be of help, the Passover food drive and Sheila Mostyn will be thrilled. Thank you, Sheila. Good luck.
Thank you.
And we'll do the best we can to help you.
And all the best for the holiday.
Take care. Same to you.
Thank
bye.
You. Right. Bye-bye.
For many people, an international, national, or local move can be a venture into uncharted waters. With 10 years of experience, General Cargo Company specializes in shipping between Canada, the U.S., and Israel. Your move will be evaluated by an experienced professional, and a detailed list of items to be moved will be tallied. For an estimate, please call General Cargo at 905-417-0920 or log on to our website at www.general-cargo.com. Okay, this is our B'nai B'rith report, and unfortunately, Joseph Ben-Ami is not going to be with us in the guise of B'nai B'rith after this visit, but hopefully we'll talk with him on other occasions under different banners. Is that right?
That's right, Zelda.
I'm going to cry. I'm crying because I'm going to miss you so much because you're such a vibrant part of our B'nai B'rith report and our show, so I do hope that from time to time we'll talk to you about other issues.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm not abandoning Zelda Young.
I know that you're not intentionally, and you have to go where you have to go. But you know, we've enjoyed talking with you for such a long time now that it's going to be a sad day in July. But anyway, never mind. Let's talk about the David Ahenahue case, and apparently now yesterday we talked about the fact that the Native Indians or whatever group that is sees the Jewish community not being very favorable to them. Where is this all coming from, Joseph? When did this suddenly, or has it always been the case? I thought that the Jewish community was more active in civil rights and in these causes than most other groups. So why has this suddenly come to the surface?
Well, you know, I don't think you're seeing a general trend here. I think you're seeing some venom being poured by a couple of angry, disenchanted individuals. Why they would specifically focus on Jews and the Jewish community is anyone's best guess. But I don't think that there's a general trend here. I think that, you know, these are the personal views of David Ahenahue and this other fellow in Manitoba now who's written this letter. you know, we enjoy very good, strong working relationships with large segments of the Aboriginal Canadian community, the Native community. We've done trips to Israel with numbers of their educators over the years, and we enjoy, as I say, very good relations. It's just too bad that, you know, you get a couple of bad apples in the barrel, and before you know it, it poisons the relationship. But we're hoping that people will see these individuals for what they are, angry individuals who are not representative of their communities. We look forward with great anticipation to the early rescinding of David Ahenikew's Order of Canada.
Well, we'll see about that. I'm not sure if that's the case, but anyway.
Well, you know what, Zelda? It better be the case.
Yeah.
If people in the council that are involved in the awarding or the revocation of the Order of Canada are not going to react to this, then I can tell you, you know, they're going to be hearing from, they'll certainly be hearing from me. I expect they'll be hearing from the rest of other people in B'nai B'rith, and I would hope that they'll hear from a lot of people in the community as well. This is just not acceptable that this man continues to have the Order of Canada.
Okay, let me ask you about the visit that Mr. Sharon made to Mr. Bush. There seems to be, you know, sort of a discussion of how did it go. We don't see that much press on it. We see that Mr. Sharon has told, you know, Bush and his people about the threat of Iran in the newscast, also about, you know, that the Jewish people, apparently, from what I get, are giving him a hard time, and he's concerned about his threat on his life or something. Have you heard all of these? This information coming out of either Israel or the United States about this?
Sure.
You have?
You know,
okay.
We've this is nothing new. Prime Minister Sharon has from time to time talked about, you know, how unreasonable some of the more vocal elements opposed to his unilateral disengagement plan have been, and you know, he probably was a little over the top in this visit and to the States, and why he would go to a foreign country, stand up in front of the press and start talking about, you know, threats to his life from the Jewish community, I guess, you know, and not speaking here officially on behalf of B'nai B'rith, but speaking personally, I find it really troubling that when members of the Jewish community in Israel or outside of Israel raise objections, even strenuously, to the Prime Minister's plans, that you know they're criticized, and criticized fairly aggressively, I would say, for being, you know, breaking up the unity, if you will, of the Jewish people on some of these questions. But then when proponents of the plan get in front of the cameras, they talk openly about stuff like what Mr. Sharon was saying, you know, I'm getting death threats from the Jewish community. I mean, unity is unity, and I would expect that all parties, all sides of this very difficult issue, you know, would step back a little bit and stop throwing stones at one another. But that includes
that's life, Joseph. Unfortunately, as long as I live, I never nothing. It,